Thank you. We love you. We praise you. And Lord, such a blessing to gather together as your children, Lord, as your kids, and just worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just so good to be, Lord, in the family of God. And Lord, as we open up your word, we pray that your word, Lord, would search us. And Lord, it would address those things in our hearts and our souls, Lord, and that you would speak to us in such a profound way. Lord, we just desire to be in such close fellowship with you, Lord. So I pray on this special day, Lord, this day that so many are getting baptized, Lord, making a profession, Lord, that they have been born again. They're the family of God, and they are forsaking the world, Lord, that they're new. They're new creations in you. Lord, may you just be glorified. May you do something special. Lord, may you speak to the heart of the people, Lord. Or maybe there's someone here today who has not heard the gospel, Lord. Maybe there's someone here that Lord, is just in pain, that's going through such a difficult time that, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them, that it would be undeniable that it's you addressing those things in their lives and you calling them unto yourself. We just thank you for this time, and we praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you. Wow, such excitement. Hey, spring is almost here. It was supposed to be here, but it keeps giving us little glimpse. You know, the sun comes out, peeks out. It's a good season. Hey, well, we're continuing our study through the book of Luke, and if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Luke chapter 2, and if you don't, we have Bibles on front, on both sides, and on back. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, you can raise your hand, and someone will get one to you. You know, God's Word is so good. It is just every time we go through it, and you guys hear it over, you guys, you know, we say it over and over again. It just speaks to us in whatever season we're in. God always has something for us. It's supernatural. It changes people. It changes hearts. And in a time where there's such division, it's only Jesus that changes hearts of the individual, that changes lives. And that's, he's in the business of doing that, giving us a new beginning, a new start. So amazing. So, will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We left off last week on Luke chapter 2, verse 8. So we're just going to read a few verses in. Follow along if you will. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you." What's this sign? "You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill towards men." You may be seated. We left off last week with the birth of our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we've been making our way through the book of Luke, it is so amazing how he's such a historian, gives us timelines, gives us names that we can refer back to in historical timelines that we can check when all this happened. And he is so detailed. A doctor, a historian, a Gentile. There's certain aspects, certain things that he does that he brings out through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And last week, we saw that our King was born. God used the first emperor of Rome. Now listen, Rome had been around for a while. There were Caesars, but it was republic. It wasn't, at that point, this was the first emperor of Rome. This man had the power of the known world. And he used Caesar Augustus to move the world to fulfill prophecy. The prophecy of Micah 5:2, that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. It's so interesting. You know, sometimes the government, people in power think, well, I'm in control and so forth. And yes, there is free will and certain, but the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he will move it wherever he wills to accomplish his purpose. And this is what he did. He moved the entire world to get our Messiah to Bethlehem, ensured that he would be born there, the Savior of the world. And, you know, it's interesting. He wasn't born, the King of Kings wasn't born in luxury in a big city and with all these celebration where men were celebrating him and so forth. He was born in the lowliest of conditions, in the poorest of conditions. In fact, we went over that he was born in a stable, which at the time possibly was a cave. Very possible that it was a cave and in a manger, which is a feeding trough. And then he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which were burial rags or were used, commonly used and known. And in John 1:11, the Word of God says, this is Jesus, the Word of God, says he came to his own, and that word own there is to his own domain, to the world, to his creation, and his own, and that word in the Greek means his people, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Notice that. The Lord, he came to his own people, but he was rejected. But the Word of God says that to those who believed, he says that those that received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Him, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Interesting. Many people say, you know, and you hear it often, it's very common. I would say this before I came in to know the Lord. Well, we're all God's children. We're all his children and so forth. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're only God's children when we come into the knowledge of him, when we receive him as Lord and Savior. We enter into the family of God. We're born again into this incredible family. This incredible transformation happens in our lives, and there's evidence of it. It's an incredible, beautiful thing. It's it changes us from the inside out. And when we once only thought about God once in a while when we got in trouble and made false promises to God, now we're in communion with God often. Our mind is thinking of our Lord and Savior throughout the day. Everything changes. Why? Because we're born again in the Spirit. And now we're in communion with God. And so, at his place of birth, there was no great reception for our Lord. He was ignored and rejected, and yet there were some waiting for the coming of the Messiah, coming of the Redeemer, and they rejoiced at his coming. And, you know, it's interesting because this happens today. This is the same thing today. There are some that don't and won't make room for Jesus in their lives. They won't make room for God in their lives. And what happens is that something happens and all of a sudden that we make an acknowledgement of God. But there's really a rejection of God. But there are those that are looking forward, not only have received him, but are looking forward to his second coming. And it's amazing. It's amazing that God is so patient with us. God is so patient that he waits for us. And he moves pieces on the board and stacks the cards in our favor that we may come to know him. You know, God's desire is to save you, that he loves you, that he wants to bless you, and he wants to give you a new beginning. And those of us in here, and I believe most, if not all, know our Lord and Savior and have experienced this, being born again, being in this incredible relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to take a look at some of those that were expecting Jesus, some of those that were excited at his coming. And I hope that everyone here is excited at our Lord's second coming, because he's coming again soon. He is coming again soon, and I can't wait for that day. Amen? All right, let's take a look at the first couple verses here, the first three verses. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Notice that. Keeping watch over their flock by night. The first thing that we see here is some shepherds that were out in the field. They were tending to the sheep. And I find it interesting that the Spirit of God uses people that you would not think, you know, that they sometimes, they themselves feel as unimportant, or society looks at them as outcasts. But those are the ones that the Lord reaches. Those are the ones that he moves so mightily in. And here we see this shepherd living out in the fields, but notice that they're keeping watch over their flock by night. And God loves that. God loves shepherds, keeping watch over the flock. And I think about Abraham. He was a shepherd. I think about Moses. He was a shepherd. I think about David and Amos. He was a shepherd. He was shepherd of the sheep. He kept the sheep. He cared for the sheep. He defended the sheep. And now, during that period of time, listen, during biblical time, shepherds were not looked at very well. They had bad reputations. Think about this. These are people that lived out in the country, out in the wilderness, sort of on their own. I mean, people get a little weird if they're living out on their own, right? There's a little oddness to things. You can understand that. And you know, there was a reputation that, you know, maybe they there's thieves and different things. And so enough to say, suffice to say that the culture would look at shepherds not in a good light. They were the outcasts. Now, at the same time, think about this. These were the ones caring for the sheep that would be sacrificed in the temple. How amazing is that? Anyway, notice also that they were keeping watch during night. You know, our great shepherd and Savior keeps watch over us during those dark times. Sometimes we're going through dark times in just in our lives, hard times, you know, difficult seasons. Do you know that he's there? One of the titles of our Lord is shepherd, the good shepherd, and he is a good shepherd. Anyway, they were keeping watch over the sheep. Here he is, and I want you to imagine this. Imagine yourself out in the wilderness. Hey, no lights, no bright lights here, no nothing, no electricity. There is no buddy heaters out there, you know, none of those things. You're just out there in the darkness with the stars. And then what happens? It says, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Can you picture this in your mind? They would have been just blown away. And it says, they were greatly afraid. Well, yeah, right? We would have been afraid. We were out there, and it's like, wow. They see an angel all of a sudden is before them, and the glory of the Lord, this light, this incredible picture, and they were afraid. And it says, the angel has to tell them, look in verse 10, he says, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now, that's important because remember that the thought was often that the Savior was for Israel, for the Jews only. However, that's not what the Bible teaches. From the very beginning, the Bible teaches that the Gentiles, us, those that are not Jewish, were also included in this. That the plan was for salvation. In fact, the Bible, we know that it says that God for so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's important, these little sections on here. So he says, I bring good news for the whole world, for you. It's amazing. And what is the good news? Verse 11 says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The greatest news in history. The first people to receive that news that the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world was born was some humble shepherds out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't a king. It wasn't, you know, the emperor. It wasn't people in authority in a sense. And we can read Matthew. There's other scenes and so forth that we see. But the first people that God saw it fit to give this news to was some humble shepherds. And verse 12 says, and this will be the sign to you. So he gives him the news. He gives the shepherd the news. But notice, he says, this is how you're going to know. This is the Redeemer. This is the Messiah. You will find a babe, and that's like a little babe, right? A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, the sign was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Obviously, this was not a normal sight, or else it wouldn't be a sign. This was something unusual, something that didn't happen. It wasn't every day that you found a baby in a feeding trough, in a cave, or in a manger, a stable, wrapped in burial cloths. It was an unusual thing, and that is the sign. The angel says to them, look, this is the sign. Now, some commentators, they note that when the lambs that were being raised, the little lambs, when they were brought to the temple for sacrifice, when they were born, that they were wrapped in this type of swaddling clothes, cloth, in order for them not to injure themselves. Because remember, before a lamb was sacrificed, it had to go through inspection. It couldn't have any bruising or any signs, anything of those things. So they would wrap the lamb in the swaddling cloths. Think about that. The Lamb of God is wrapped in this swaddling clothes. It's amazing. It's all these pictures and types of Jesus Christ, his birth and his death, all coming together. Everything, this imagery that the Bible paints for us. So verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Wow, can you imagine a heavenly orchestra? And the audience was a couple of shepherds. Here is, it says, the host of heaven and angels. Imagine this. Heaven opens up, and they all got their harps and their... It's an incredible production, something that they have been preparing for eternity. Man, the presence of God, heaven opened, and the audience is a couple of shepherds. How amazing is that? What a blessing that these humble shepherds would have a front row seat to the greatest heavenly production ever. The day that the Word became flesh. How amazing. Verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see these things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, this brings us back to the previous chapter. Remember Mary, when the angel gave her the news? She immediately believed it. And what did she do? She ran. She left Nazareth, went all the way down to Judea to see her cousin, who was also pregnant. She believed. She moved in her belief. She put shoes to her faith. And that's what we see here, that these angels believed. They said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. There wasn't any doubt in their hearts. They're like, this has happened. Let's go. Let's make it there. And then it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, Jesus, They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Notice that these shepherds, they wasted no time. In haste, they want to see Mary. And what happens when they get there? They see Jesus. They're in the presence of Jesus. They see God in the flesh. And they were excited. Man, it's exactly as the angel told them. They knew that God was speaking through this angel. And notice the reaction of these men. What do they do? It says that they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they quickly went and evangelized. They believe, they heard, the Savior's here. They come, they see the baby, and what happens is they run on out and they tell the world, listen, the Savior of the world is here. The Savior of the world has come to redeem his people. I'm reminded of John chapter 4. You guys remember the woman at the well? Remember Samaria? This woman from Samaria. What happened? Jesus goes up with his disciples. They go into town to get some food. And this woman comes in and they have an interaction. She has an interaction with Jesus. She comes in as an unbeliever. By the end of the conversation, she realizes this is the Messiah. He has told me everything I have ever done. And what does she do? The Bible says that she left her water pot. She came to get water. She just dropped it, and she ran into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And this was the result. A little further down, we read that many Samaritans in that city believed because of the word of the woman who testified. Her testimony had power. She came in excited. Listen, there wasn't all this theology. It wasn't all this. It was, Jesus is my Savior. He told me all that I ever did. This is the Messiah. I place my trust in him. Listen, you guys got to go and see. You got to go and hear this man. And there's like an excitement when we come to know the Lord. And it should be for always. Listen, being in his presence, we should be excited and telling people about Jesus. This world has no hope. And I hate to say that. I don't want to sound like Eeyore and there's a dark cloud over me. Because there isn't. There really isn't. I speak about the Lord. There's a smile on my face. But the world disappoints. Whether we put our faith in government, put our faith on people and so forth, there's all these things going on. And when we look at all these things, when we put our faith in man, we get disappointed. Because we're faulty when sinful and so forth. But not Jesus. He's the answer. All these problems, this chaos in the world, this wars and so forth, Jesus is the answer. He's the only one that changes the heart of man. It's not this incredible, theories or the wisdom of man and all these different things that is going to change things. Only God will change things. These things. We're in a place in our world that really, I believe, that we've hit the other end. We hit the other end in the sense that Jesus is coming. It's just going to get worse and worse in the world. Wars and rumors of wars, prophecy tells us, look, this is what's coming. Everything is lining up. The temple, we know, everything is ready to be built. We have Saudi Arabia that has made a pact also with Iran and so forth. I mean, China, all these different, the Bible tells us this. And never before in history has there been the technology and everything set up for it to come to pass as it is right now. We have cryptocurrency. The Bible says no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast, right? There are chips that people are implanting on them so they can, go ahead and buy and sell. All these things, the Bible told us about this 2,000 years ago. Prophetic. It's not by accident. It's by design. Jesus is coming back, and our hearts should be right with him. It's interesting. Well, they go and they tell everyone about Jesus. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them. So now they return, they go, and they go back home. And here's the thing, is that they weren't the same. They weren't the same. I don't know about you, but I want you to think back. Before you knew the Lord, and when you heard that Jesus loved you, that he wanted to forgive you of your sins, that we are sinful, and we know that. God has built us in such a way that we know that we do things that we shouldn't. And even sometimes it's like, well, what exactly is sin, right? Is before knowing the Lord, we don't even know the definition of sin and so forth. Well, we know right and wrong. We know that it's not God. Murder is wrong, very simple. God has created us in such a fashion. And before we came to know the Lord, we had a sense a sense of saying, this is right, this is wrong. But when we hear the word of God, when we heard the preaching of the word, when we heard about Jesus, something happened. And if we didn't receive the Lord that day, we heard, but we weren't the same. Because here's the thing, that with Jesus, there's no in between. We either receive him or reject him. There's not like halfway in, guys. It's like you're not halfway pregnant, right? It doesn't happen. You either belong to him or you don't. And it's like either you're born again or you're not. And the difference shows in the life of the individual. So these men, they weren't the same ever again. Verse 21, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. Once again, Jesus means salvation, or Jehovah is salvation, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, we discussed this a little bit a couple weeks ago, that on the eighth day, Genesis tells us, right, but in the law it tells us that the eighth day, the child or the male would be circumcised on the eighth day. But not only circumcised, they will also be given a name during that period of time. That's when they would name the child. So 8 days later, they would come, they would to the home, they would circumcise him, and then they would name this child. They were obedient to name him Jesus, just as the angel said. And it's so cool. Jesus, which is the Greek form of Joshua, the Greek name, or Joshua. And it means salvation. And that's who Jesus is. And listen, the Bible says that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it also says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There will be a day that everybody will confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God. And whether it is done here or there, it will be done. But when we do it here, we're saved. When we do it here, we come into the family of God. However, if we fail to do that, if we decide to live our lives without God, without Jesus, we will live eternity without Jesus. And we will go before him. We will go before God. And the Lord will say to us, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because he's going to respect the decision of every individual. It's amazing. There's power in the name of Jesus. You know that? Let me ask you a question. Is it hard for you to say the name of Jesus when you're talking to people at work, people that don't know the Lord, to share Jesus? We can say any other name, no big deal. We can say Muhammad, we can say this, but then we say, well, you know, let me tell you about Jesus, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, don't bring Jesus here. Or there's, why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. People know inherently that Jesus is God, and there's power in his name, and when you bring it up, it's like a repellent to some, but to others, it is a light that brings life. And you either get one or two reactions. You get one that will reject the word of God, that will reject him. It's clear. Or the other reaction is that they start listening and you see their countenance changing. You see the Spirit of God moving in their hearts. And all of a sudden they know that the word of God is true. And they may not give their life to the Lord then, but their seeds have been planted. And listen, maybe you're here today and have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Know this, that it's not by accident that you're here. There are no accidents with God. Do you understand that? That there are no accidents with God. This is a divine appointment for you. What you do with it is up to you. You have a free will. But just like God orchestrated the world, how he moved Caesar Augustus to have Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem where Jesus would be born, in the same fashion, God orchestrates, he stacks the cards in the favor of his creation that they may hear the word and that they may be born again. So you may be here and you may be thinking, well, maybe I came to see a baptism, I'm happy for them. Or maybe you're just here, you were dragged along, you know. And you think, well, I just came. You didn't just come. It was God moving the pieces. God wanted you to be here today because he wants to give you hope. He wants to save you. It's what he does. It's a divine appointment. And, you know, some may be asking, what does it mean to be born again? What does that mean exactly? And, you know, listen, a religious leader asked Jesus that. You guys remember John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he wants to know. Here, this is a teacher, a religious man, one that's teaching religion to Israel, but he wants to know how it is that you enter heaven. And that's the gist of the conversation. And, you know, Jesus responds to his question, because when he says that a man must be born again, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, he's like, come on. And what he was saying, he was in unbelief. He says, it can't happen. That's, you know, and there's more to that to expound on. But Jesus responds by saying this. He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Listen, born again is this. Simply put, you hear the word of God, you hear the good news that Jesus wants to forgive your sins and give you eternal life, and you respond to his invitation. You repent or turn from your sins, put your trust in him, and receive his gift of eternal life. And all of a sudden, you're born again. The Spirit in you is born again, and now you have communion with God. And something amazing happens, and that's what being born again is. You'll find that everything changes. You'll find that you pray and you hear God's voice, you know, and speaking to you at times and directing you, or you see him answering prayers. Like, wow, he does answer prayers, because he does. Because he's alive and he cares for you and for your life. It's an amazing thing. And today you're going to have an opportunity to do that. Listen, we're having a baptism. I love baptisms. I don't know about you, but they're such a wonderful time. I remember when I was baptized. Do you guys remember when you were baptized? Do you remember that incredible feeling? Man, I was weeping like a baby. You know, like I mentioned this before, I'm glad that I was all wet so I could sort of play it off. I'm not crying. That's not me. But I was so joyful. I knew. What a special time. What a special thing, because I knew something special. The Lord had saved me. I was born again. I was not the same, and I was ready to declare the world, say, the old man is dead. Behold, the new man. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And it was such an amazing thing. And I think we're going to leave it there. I was planning to go a little bit further on, but I think we're going to leave it there. It's a good place to leave it, because we do have the potluck and we do have the baptism today. But I just want to share with you. God has a plan. His plan is perfect. Our minds cannot comprehend it. Okay, his ways are higher than our ways. We try to explain everything. We try to plan everything. We think, okay, this is the way that things will happen. This is the way. Listen, if you can explain it, it's not God. And God has a plan for you. God had a plan for me when he saved me in the middle of the desert, just him and I. He had a plan when he saved you, wherever it is that you were. That for the first time, although you had heard the word of God, but for the first time you truly heard the word of God. You heard that Jesus saves, that he will give you a new beginning, a new start, that he'll forgive your sins, that he'll wipe them away like nothing had ever happened. Listen, the Bible says that we cannot enter heaven because we are sinful. And God is pure, he is holy. The only way that we enter heaven into the presence of God is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. And it's a simple decision. We either receive him or reject him. There's no in between. And the Bible is clear that we may be able to go through life trying to convince ourselves of one thing and all the way through and thinking, no, I'm okay. You know, I'll live my life this way. But God, he's made one way. That's it, one way. And I submit to you, if he had made 100 ways, we still wouldn't be happy. Why 100 ways? But he's made one way. He's made it easy through Jesus Christ. We bring our sins to him. We ask him for forgiveness. He wipes away our sins. He forgives us. It's cleansed. It's brand new. New start. Our ledger is clean. And we're born again. And we begin this new life with our Lord and Savior. Today you can do that. After Cassie's coming up with Josh, and they're going to lead us in a final worship song coming up, and I'm going to pray for us. But after we're done with prayer, if you need prayer, if you want to receive Jesus, come on back. There'll be people back there. They'll be happy to pray with you. They'll be happy. And listen, maybe you know the Lord. Maybe you strayed away. Maybe you said, you know what? I just walked away from the Lord, and I know that God is calling to me right now. I know that God has been just chasing me, and I've been running. I'm tired of running from the Lord. And I want to get back to him. Maybe you just want to recommit your life to the Lord because you backslidden for several years. Or maybe you just have issues in your life that you need prayer for. God answers prayers. Listen, God hears. He's not an absentee God. He desires to hear from his children. He hears, but he desires that we voice these things to him. And he meets us where we're at. Amen? Hey, will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you. We are just so grateful to you. Lord, I'm just in awe, Lord, that in the manner that you love us, Lord, you're patient with us. We can go through life just bumping along, making a mess of things. And Lord, you use people to speak into our lives. You use people, Lord, to remind us that you're there, that you love us, Lord. Lord, and as we read this incredible book, the supernatural book, we see, Lord, that this was your plan from the beginning. Your desire to save us, to give us life. Lord, you don't desire that anyone would go to hell. That is not your desire whatsoever. In fact, you died for us. That literally we have to almost go over your body in order to go to hell because you said, I died for you. You don't need to go that direction. I made a way that you can be forever in my presence and be blessed and have eternal life. And Lord, what an incredible thing because, Lord, we can be wicked. We can, man's nature is to stray, but your nature is to shepherd your people. To care for us, to love us, to give us life. We're just grateful to you. In your name, my Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.